What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Talking a Bunch of Hoopla. If you're watching this in video, I'm back in the room, finally. That's great progress. You know, you'd love to see that happening. But I'm just going to jump right into it. No ifs, ands, or buts. So, as I'm sure you all by now are aware, that LeBron James has now won his fourth NBA championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, kind of immediately what happens, especially on like NBA Twitter, is the whole GOAT conversation. Usually it's, oh, Michael's better than LeBron, LeBron's better than Michael, or there's a lot of like Michael, you know, fans will go against LeBron fans, and then it's vice versa. And then it's like that for a while, where it's like, oh, actually LeBron's great because of he had to face this kind of competition and blah blah blah. But Jordan's great because it's like a whole fucking never-ending situation. I wanted to ask you all, who the fuck cares? I say that because, one, we'll never... I mean, when it comes to, like, GOAT conversations, they're supposed to be, like, fun and just kind of... just nothing that's that serious. Because, like, for example, comes to football. You know, you don't really see, like, Tom Brady going up against like Joe Montana as like who's a GOAT, or you know, him versus Jerry Rice, or him and insert great other player. You know, it's like when it comes to quarterbacks, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time at the moment. But you know, it is what it is with that. But for basketball, it's, you know, obviously a little bit different. So you know, these guys played in two different eras. It's like, I feel like you really properly cannot say who is the greatest, because again, it's, I've said it in previous podcasts, where it's really based who you really watch growing up. Because it usually seems like, from what I see and how I see like people are online, where, you know, if you grew up watching Michael, you know, when you were younger, or like in a kind of primitive age when you're watching sports, you're obviously going to think that Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. And then you go to, you know, if you grew up watching LeBron play, you know, from when he was in high school to going to the NBA, the Cavs, and so on and so forth, you're going to think LeBron's a GOAT. Or you may be also in the conversation to where you think Kobe's the GOAT. But people who think Kobe's the greatest of all time, that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Because it's like Michael fans and, you know, LeBron fans kind of just are the ones higher and yelling. And Kobe fans are just like, we're here. You know, we're like, we still think Kobe's the greatest, but, you know, we're just not gonna yell about it. But I feel like it's one of those things where it now becomes a thing where people just aren't enjoying this shit anymore. You know, because, you know, you can throw out all the statistics you want and all that, which, if you really want to, Jordan, from my understanding, from the statistics I've been reading as much as I can to, like, compare and contrast, is still technically the GOAT. I mean, you can sit there, obviously the big thing with that is like, you know, finals, you know, Jordan went to six, he won six. LeBron's been to like, I think seven, no, 10, something's only won four or whatever that number is. But again, statistically, when it comes to a lot of things, Jordan still technically is the greatest of all time, but it's just now hearing it so much, it's like, this isn't fun anymore. Like, usually, it's like shit you argue with on the bus with other kids or whatever, like dudes at work while you're on break. It's like, oh no, this or that or whatever. But now it's getting to a point where like people are just talking shit to each other online because of the fact that they think, they're like, I'm gonna die on this hill that LeBron is the greatest of all time. No, I'm gonna die on this hill that Jordan is the greatest of all time. You cannot tell me otherwise. What? I mean, it's also kind of the media does that a lot too, where it's like they try to just like, oh well, you see people on, like, ESPN or Fox where it's like, oh, well, look at LeBron winning his fourth title. See, he is the GOAT, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, can we just, like, enjoy watching him play? Is that so hard? Like, I know he's been compared to Jordan since, like, he's been, like, 13 years old. You know, he's worn 23 for, like, majority of his career. And, you know, they don't really even play alike. You know, they're two different kind of players. But I just feel like we should just enjoy LeBron while we have him. That's it. You know? It's like, who cares if he's not better than, you know, Michael Jordan? Because he's one, he's still a great player. Two, He's still going to the Hall of Fame first ballot if he fucking retired right now. I mean, he's still a great player of all time. Statistically, he's what, like, top five, you know, arguably, top three, depending on who you ask. Who cares if he's not the GOAT, or who cares if he is? Just enjoy him while we have him here. Because, you know, the day he retires, or, like, if, you know, whatever, people are going to be on Twitter or, like, online in general, more just, like, acting a hell of a lot different than they normally do toward him, so. But the reason I brought it all up, too, is because I wanted to know what you think is next for LeBron. And I asked that because, you know, he's been in the league. I believe he just finished his 17th year. You know, he's won his fourth title, his fourth NBA Finals MVP. You know, he's breaking all these finals records, and he's breaking all these regular season records. And, you know, he's close to being in the league 20 years. And my thing is, well, what's really next for him? Like, what can he really do? I mean, I don't know him, obviously, personally, so, like, I don't know where he is at mentally, especially through all this bubble kind of fiasco that happened this year. But my thing is, like, I'm not saying I don't expect him to retire, because obviously he seems still motivated and hungry to, like, you know, play every year. But my thing is, just, like, what's really next? Like, what is keeping him motivated? Because, you know, he's won a championship with three different teams in his 17-year career, which is great. Like I said, statistically, he's broken all these records. So it's like, you feel like, it's not like he's hit like a peak, but it's like, he's doing things that like we all expected him to, and it's like, well, what are you really gonna do next? Is he trying to go after Jordan's record of, you know, the six titles? Is that what he's trying to reach? To be like, well, see, like, we're here with Jordan, or like, I'm right here with Kobe, so like, put some respect in my name, please. Just please. You know, or is he waiting to play with his son, Bronny? You know, that's going to be like fucking 4 or 5 more years, because I believe he'll be a sophomore in high school this year. Which, if that is the thing, wow. I'm sure he'll try to finesse his way, you know, to make that happen to where Bronny is playing with him. Also, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry for all the noise. I live on an intersection, so apparently everyone and their mother decides we're going to drive right now, and I just obviously pick a bad time to record a podcast. So, you know, that's that for that. So, and there's nothing I can do because this happens like 24/7, so it's loud all the time. But back to what I was saying. I don't know. I'm just interested to see how much longer he's really going to play. You know, is he really going to try to wait to see if he can play with his son? He'd be like, oh, and if, like, you know, one of the bigger, oh my God, son-father NBA games where they're like, they lob it to each other and they're dunking and having a great old time. Some, like, you know, play, you know, like some Ken Griffey Sr., Ken Griffey Jr. type shit. They play baseball, and I know they weren't dunking, but you get my understanding if you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I mean, because now with the East is kind of, like, not as great. I mean, you're going to have Brooklyn coming back next year, hopefully strong with KD being healthy and Kyrie. Steve Nash head coach, so that should be interesting dynamic. Giannis and Milwaukee still kind of up in the air, because if he leaves, they're no longer that kind of title presence. So, I see him either doing, he stays with Milwaukee, or I don't really know where he would go to make that work. I mean, I obviously want the Knicks to get him because I'm a Knicks fan, but that's not going to happen. I've seen some things where people say that he may go to the Heat, because there's a situation where it was like LeBron, where, you know, someone broke it down to where, like everything that LeBron had did going up into, you know, joining the Heat, that's what happened to Giannis right now. So I go, well, that's going to happen next. It's like, I don't think Giannis is going to join the Heat. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Or maybe just LeBron's kind of guy where he's like, I just want more. Like, 4 isn't enough, I want 5. He gets 5, 5 is enough, I want 6. 6 is enough, I want 7. So, I don't know. It's really interesting to see what's going to happen, because you don't really see, you know, guys like this as much, you know, playing this long into careers. I mean, obviously you have like You know, Peyton Manning played for a very long time. Tom Brady's still playing. You know, obviously Drew Brees is still going. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, obviously from the same draft class as LeBron. And so on and so forth. Like I say, or name fucking all these players that have played for like two decades. But, you know, it's great to see that these guys are still able to keep it physically, you know, safe and able to, you know, play all these years. That's always a very tough thing. You got to be the elite of the elite really to do that, I imagine. But actually, I want to get on something real quick now that I'm kind of thinking about it as well. So speaking with my father recently, and you know, we'll talk about sports, what kind of bullshit, whatever, nothing too serious. And he was talking about how when he was, you know, growing up doing that old person thing where it's like, well, back in my day, basically saying how, in his opinion, LeBron really isn't great because he's had to change teams to win championships. You know, he didn't win his first run with the Cavs. He had to go to Miami to win. And then when he left Miami, he went back to Cleveland when they were a better team to win. And then now he left Cleveland to go to LA to chase a ring and then have Anthony Davis and so on to win a ring. And the big question of all of it was, why are athletes less loyal to the teams that they were drafted to now more than they were, you know, like 10, 20 years ago? Well, one, I can answer that question easily. It's money. Because we all know it's a business. The players know it's a business. So loyalty, I feel like to an extent, doesn't really mean shit. Because these teams, as much as you can be loyal to them, you could, you know, have a house in the city. You know, you could be doing all this great, like, volunteer work for the city and helping kids and helping special needs and so on and so forth. You know, you can pretty much do the greatest shit possible for the city of insert whatever team someone plays for. But if they like someone that's available on, like, a trade block or whatever, they'll be like, hey, we're going to actually pick up Randy Anderson over here. And we're going to have to let you go. So, well, sorry about that. It's like, it's a business. Like, at the end of the day, it's a business. And obviously, if a player has a chance to make the most money they'll ever make in their career for playing the thing they love, why would they not? You know, I see a lot of fans also complain about that. It's like, oh, why aren't, you know, players so loyal? And, you know, you never see that anymore where a guy stays on his team the whole career, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, all right, let me just make it about regular people for a second. Like, people who don't have athletic jobs where they make millions of dollars. So, when you work, you know, you don't, when you're like 18, 17, whatever, you're not looking for a job that's going to make you the happiest. You're looking for a job that's going to pay you the most that you can at the moment. And obviously, you try to work your way up to gain experience or maybe work the way up the ladder in that company. Or maybe you're like, you know what, working here isn't for me. And try to work somewhere else because maybe you're in college trying to pursue something specific or whatever, but you do that and obviously you're going to try to find a job that's going to pay you the most. Not the job that you're going to love the most. It's the job that pays you the most. We all do that. Not, I don't know a single person that I know who isn't trying to find a job that's going to pay them the most because they don't care about what company they work for because at the end of the day, we're all just numbers in the system of, you know, labor and all that. Why does my shirt look hella dirty? Oh my God, I just realized that. I'm so sorry, I went on a tangent, but yeah, so what I was saying is, it's like it doesn't really matter at the end of the day because these companies make a shit more money off of us than we make from them. So why is it any different for an athlete to do that when they don't get a choice of where they get to work? They're forced to work for a certain company for X amount of years. And when they want to leave, everyone's like, whoa, why are you doing this now? Like, I thought, look what they gave you. Like, they gave you your chance. And it's like, I'm happy for that. And I wish them nothing but this, you know, the most success. But I'm not happy here. So I'm going to go to where I can make money. And hopefully, you know, from what I, little information I know with, you know, the staff and the bosses, that I can make this all work and hopefully have a decent time working. But in sports, you know, it's never like that. It's, well, this guy's an asshole. Oh, you know, players are all about money now, blah, blah, blah. which I'm sure if you put like free agency like how it is today in the 80s, 70s, or even in the 90s to where it is now for like baseball, basketball, football, soccer, so on and so forth, excuse me, that it's going to be the same shit happening. You know, for most of football, at least, there really wasn't free agency. It was pretty much you re-sign with your team after the contract's over, or you get traded to a new team. That's kind of usually how it went until they brought in free agency and they're just like, yeah, now you can kind of just go wherever you feel is best. Wherever you want to go and that team is offering you, fucking go at it. So yeah, it's I don't get the big deal of, you know, players wanting to leave, you know, to get more money. Like, now yes, for LeBron's example, he's not really leaving LA, leaving for Cleveland to go to LA to make more money. He did it to win championships because LA was ready to set up a team around LeBron to win championships. We knew that. Same thing with Miami. Cleveland at the time when he left was not ready to win a championship. They were not built. They did not help LeBron in any fucking facet to get a championship. So go to a team and, you know, a situation where, you know, the organization's going to help you. The players are ready to win a championship and that's their main goal. And they're, you know, they have a team set up that the basis around it is that. Yes, you can argue every team should be like that, but where it's built around, you know, this is a team of putting together to really make a hard push. I feel like it's not that big of a deal. But I don't know. I think at the end of the day, you gotta do what's best for you and your family, or, you know, you and your, you know, yourself at the end of the day. So if, you know, if you want to go to a job that's going to pay you a shit ton of money, but you may be a little bit less happy and you're okay with that, then fucking go do it. Who cares? But don't sit there and shit talk dudes on Twitter about it when you do the same exact shit in your life. Like, it's the same thing. I just don't understand. But that's just how I see that. Land, are your thoughts on that? You know, do you think players should be more loyal to these teams that they start with? Or do you think, you know, they should just go wherever they make them happier, you know, insert reasons X, Y, and Z? Let me know. As I'm sure you know by now, we finally have our World Series teams. We have the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, I don't know who I think is going to win. Because if you would have told me like a month or two ago that the Rays would be in the World Series, I'd be like, I mean, like Tampa Bay Rays? No. Absolutely not. That's not happening. No. Not that they're a bad team. It's just like against like the Yankees or Astros. I just don't see it. Like, I just didn't. That's not where I was going. But obviously, I was wrong. Here they are. I'm interested to see how this goes. I can see it probably going like 6-7 games with at least the Dodgers, in my opinion, on paper, a stronger team. I just think they have better bats, better pitching. But also, I mean, Tampa Bay, the Rays hitters have been doing really well these last few series. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I'm definitely going to bring my friend Sean on again for like I did the podcast the week before to talk about it more in depth. Because again, he's my baseball guy and I'm still like re-entering the baseball world after so many years of I exiled myself away from sport, from baseball. But I mean, the way the Dodgers were playing last night, I mean, also they're playing a really tough Atlanta Braves team, so I'm not surprised that it kept going back and forth. But I mean, hopefully they can keep it up and, you know, win another World Series in LA. But now I'm thinking, you know, we had a Tampa Bay championship for the Stanley Cup. You know, Tampa Bay is having Super Bowl this year, and obviously the Tampa Bay Bucks are doing a lot better now. Obviously they beat the dog shit out of Green Bay, which was a lot of surprising to see the least. So maybe we'll get like you know, obviously now we have a Tampa LA World Series, so we can get a Tampa LA, you know, NFC Championship? Is this the new trend where it's Tampa versus LA in sports? Even though, yes, in the Stanley Cup, Tampa Bay Lightning did face the Dallas Stars, but let me just have my fun here, all right? Don't fucking ruin this for me, all right? Thank you. But I don't know. It's definitely going to be interesting. I see this going probably, like I said, 6-7 games. The Dodgers most likely, in my opinion, winning it. I also just think a lot of it, too, is kind of experience with the Rays. You know, this is their second ever World Series appearance, so when it comes to dealing with this kind of level of game, you know, you usually will see teams kind of struggle because of lack of experience, like what happened with the Heat. You know, obviously LeBron has had a decade worth of experience in the NBA Finals. Anthony Davis hasn't. He's had playoff experience, of course, but not to the level of where LeBron hasn't. You know, you've had J.R. Smith and other guys on the team, Quinn Cook, and so on and so forth, who have had, you know, NBA Finals experience. So they know how this shit goes. And obviously, experience in the Finals is a lot different than having experience in the playoffs, because it's like that level of competition is just taken to a new level. So that's why, you know, I think that played a part why the Heat lost, is because, you know, they don't have that experience at all when it comes to that. They're only a really young team. So that obviously hurt them in the end. They still played well, but again, it hurt them overall. But I think that's probably what's going to happen with Tampa. I mean, in theory, if they sit here and fucking sweep, you know, the Dodgers, which I don't think is going to happen. But if they do, all the power to them, and I will shut my mouth forever about them. You will never hear the words Tampa Bay Rays leave my mouth ever again. Unless I'm referring to them winning the World Series. But either way, I still hope it's entertaining. I still hope it's good. It starts Tuesday. So I think it should be able to, I think I'm out of work on time to watch game one. Because I haven't really been able to watch any baseball because every time I work, the games are on. And by the time I get out, the games are over. So I'm just like, I just want to watch sports. But I'm just happy we have sports in general. Like I've said before in other podcasts where, you know, sports obviously were hit heavily due to COVID. But now that we've had, like, you know, basketball come back, football, you know, other football or football, you know, soccer, whatever, has been doing well. I haven't heard too much about COVID tests. And so that's obviously great. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see any positive. Hockey crushed it with, you know, not getting really any positives at all. They did early on, I believe, but they, like, handled it very well and quickly, which is what you want to see. But, you know, obviously with the scheduling of sports now is kind of jacked up where, like, this offseason is going to be tough for a lot of players because I know the NBA is starting in December, so you're not getting, like, a full offseason, but, you know, it is what it is, but it's definitely going to be interesting. I mean, at least baseball still has their full, like, off season, you know, so they're still good to, you know, get through April and all that. So good on them. But yeah, I mean, again, it's just, I mean, I'm happy that, you know, the majority of sports athletes when it comes to men's sports, women's sports, you know, have been taking the COVID stuff very seriously, making sure they're staying negative, you know, wearing their masks, social distancing, sanitizing their hands, staying clean, doing all that's been great. Because that WNBA, from all the research I was doing, was crushing it, you know. I don't really remember seeing any positive recently in the last, like, few months from them. So, I mean, they're doing a lot better than people expect or the media wants to give credit for. Especially the Seattle Storm, you know, just whooped the shit out of the Aces. And had a great, great WNBA season, excuse me. I mean, they have Breonna Stewart and you have Sue Bird. So you're pretty much set up with, like, two top-tier players together. Just beat the shit out of everybody. And it's a Sue Bird 4 championship. So 17 years of WNBA, been absolutely crushing it. And then, obviously, the conversation comes up when it comes about the WNBA is, you know, it was equal pay. And yes, I do feel that the WNBA should be paid more because statistically, at least these last few years, they've been doing better than the NBA has. Because I know even their games, I know the NBA Finals had like a record low viewing this year. And I know obviously that does play a part with the whole, you know, them supporting the Black Lives Matter movement and all the things they've done politically, like during all that. So I'm sure to an extent that was part of the reason, or maybe the reason why it took a hit. But also the WNBA saw a rise in viewing, but they also supported, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, everything else. So I don't know. That's a whole other conversation. But at the end of the day, these women still bring in millions of dollars to the sport. And the fact that, you know, people like Sue Bird, you know, Breonna Stewart, you know, Maya Moore, when she was playing, so I don't think she's playing anymore. Candace Parker, you know, obviously we all know the big names, so on and so forth, that they should be paid. I mean, they should be paid just as equally as the NBA, but, you know, I know people are going to sit here and put out statistics of, well, actually, the NBA draws this amount of viewers, well, the WNBA draws them on this amount of viewers, and blah, 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 but it's like, these people still, like, the fact that a regular bullshit NBA player, that's not true, I don't want to say bullshit NBA player, but, like, a regular kind of minimum wage NBA player gets paid more than, like, a top-level WNBA player, and that's absolutely nuts. I mean, yeah, that's like the only really sport, it seems like, for the most part, that has that equal pay conversation, because I don't know how it works in gymnastics. I don't know. I mean, because I know usually that's like college, I know they do it for, and also they do like their Olympics as well, which is separate, but I don't know how it works when they get paid, because I know a lot of them, I don't know. I feel like it's, I don't know. I don't know how it works. I know how it works. But yes, equal pay basically should be obviously a thing in sports, but sadly it isn't. Also, women's sports don't get the same amount of attention they do in men's sports. And I know it's like, well, men's sports are actually more entertaining and the bigger stars, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, first of all, anyone who really says that, you don't watch women's sports. You're not watching, you know, professional softball. You're not watching professional basketball. You're not watching, you know, women's fighting, watching women's MMA, women's boxing. You're not watching women's sports at all. We know for a fact that the person who says that isn't watching women's sports. But they still draw in a huge amount of people. Like, for example, when Danica Patrick joined NASCAR, while, yes, she wasn't the most successful in Indy 500, she still had a huge following joining NASCAR. And she brought in a whole new demographic that NASCAR really needed to kind of take it themselves to the next level by getting that woman demographic. And it worked. Well, yes, she wasn't, again, the most successful in NASCAR, but, you know, she still brought women and inspired young girls to even, like, well, you know, I see Dan doing it every week, and she's the only girl out there most of the time that, you know, I think it's great that I want to get into it, even though getting into racing is extremely expensive, but nonetheless, by now, women's sports should get paid more. That's just what that is. Will they ever make the same amount of money like the NBA does? Probably not. And it sucks because these women work their asses off just as much. You know, some of them arguably even more than the NBA does. And I don't know. That's always one of those tough things for people to wrap their head around. Because, I mean, I feel like if, you know, the WNBA got the same amount of exposure that the NBA does, we'd be having a different conversation right now. But sadly, it doesn't, and I think it'll be a while before it does, but having NBA players definitely talk about it more and showing their support more definitely is beneficial for that, because now that, you know, before you'd see, like, not really much kind of acknowledgement between the two sports for a lot of the time, but now over the last, like, year or two, like, 3 or 4 years, it seems like more NBA players are actually, you know, representing the WNBA a lot better, and even NFL players, you know, with Russell Wilson recently wearing a Sue Bird jersey, obviously Seattle Storm, Seattle Seahawks, connection, But yeah, I think it'll be some time before the WBA, the WNBA gets the respect it deserves. So, which sucks, but that's kind of sadly the situation right now. And change is always slow, but I think with, you know, time, it'll be to where it should be. But that's just how I see it. Let me know your thoughts on everything I talked about, whether it's LeBron being the GOAT or not the GOAT. What's next for him? You know, should the WNBA be paid more? Or anything else I may have talked about. Or, you know, maybe something I missed out. Let me know. If you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Talking Hoopla. Both spelled the same. Both spelled how they sound. You can also find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Anchor, Stitcher. Anywhere podcasts are available, this podcast is there. So, I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Make sure to follow it, rate it. Fucking rate this podcast, please, 5 stars. It would mean a lot to me, right? Yeah. I mean, why am I asking myself? Yeah. So, again, thank you for taking the time, if you made it this far, to listen to this week's podcast. And I'll see you all next Monday.